So thank you all for coming. So I'm sure we're all looking forward to the most exciting part of the program. It's not the class. But we just fill in between Prasad and the theater. Ramadi Murti Shu. So in the Brahma Samhita it says, Ramadi Murti Shu. Imenit kala nitishtan nanavatarama karod bhuvaneshu kintu krishnak swayam sambhavat paramak pamanyo govindam adi purushang dhamahang vajami. So Rama and Adi, Krishna has many incarnations. So why does Krishna come with all these incarnations? Krishna comes specifically, so we have something to think about. Everyone is looking for some hero or heroine. The whole world is full of heroes and heroines. It's hard to say who's the villain anymore, usually. Many times what would be considered to be the villain in the Vedic culture is the hero or the heroine nowadays. And they come in all different varieties. But no one's very satisfied with the current heroes and heroines because they're all not very heroic. Prabhupada said the general who's supposed to be the kshatriya, when it's time for the war, he goes underground for 2 miles, watches the war on a television screen while he's drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and eating chocolate. And if there's some blood, then he goes, you know, he closes his eyes. He doesn't want to get an upset stomach. So this is the hero in modern society. One is considered to be expert if he can steal more money than anyone else can by some hook or crook. But in Vedic culture, and of course nowadays, because people are so much dissatisfied with the current leadership, the so-called heroes, they've invented Batman and Spider-Man. All these lower species of life have become heroes. Because compared to the present day people, they're actually quite elevated. Bats and spiders and all kinds of other things. But in Vedic culture, when Krishna comes, it's actually heroes. Krishna is doing something heroic. As we saw, Archita Prabhu is showing us the Dasa avatars. Krishna doesn't come and do something ordinary. When he comes, wants to go for a swim, he doesn't go downtown Slovenia looking for a pool. The whole universe becomes his pool. And he goes to swim in the waters of devastation. When he wants to hold up a mountain, when he has a scratch or an itch on his back, he gets a mountain 100,000 yojanas made out of pure gold to scratch his itch. That's called wealth. Imagine if you had a scratch on your back and someone gave you a toothpick made out of gold to scratch your back, you'd be quite proud. What to speak of a mountain 800,000 miles or around 1,200,000 kilometers high made of solid gold scratching your back. So Krishna's activities are all extraordinary. So why are they extraordinary? Because it gives us something to listen to hear about. Otherwise we wind up searching the internet for news or going on Facebook, which we probably do anyhow. But in between these pastimes, we can hear about Krishna's activities. And by doing so, we directly associate with Krishna. Because the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the associates of Krishna, are all of the nature of spiritual energy. And in this way, by associating with them, we become purified. Generally speaking, we emphasize to hear about Bhagavad Gita, Because Bhagavad Gita is the means by which we can enter into these pastimes. We can become, we'll live our life here in this world in such a way as to spiritualize our lives in our present circumstances, because we're also in a pastime of Krishna. There are two pastimes going on. One is the descent of all of us as avatars. You didn't know we were avatars. But actually we've come from the spiritual world and we've descended and we're known as the Mudha avatars. The pastime of the Mudha avatars. As we suffer along in our ignorance and our different activities here, serves as a good lesson for anyone else who is thinking of coming back to the material world. And then there's a pastime of Krishna and delivering the conditioned souls in these different avatars. And in the present incarnation, there's the avatar of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have the opportunity to participate in those pastimes, or in that particular pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering the conditioned souls. We have an opportunity to be directly empowered by him, simply as he says, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aga Gurahana Taridesh. That whoever you meet, if you simply tell them about Krishna, then you become part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and you become empowered by him directly to help deliver the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to live in that pastime so that we become a suitable instrument for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Then, as we become qualified in that pastime, in our hearts, the other activities of Krishna will appear. Krishna has many variegated pastimes and many different species of life, but particularly interesting, especially for the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is the pastimes of Krishna in his human form, especially the pastimes of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But even Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even they appreciate Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, because when Krishna was small, or especially when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was small, and Lord Nityananda, and Krishna and Balaram, they used to, well, at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they used to enact the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and his associates, especially in Lord Nityananda, even before he met Lord Chaitanya, was expert at the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So much so, when he used to play the part of Lakshman, the brother of Lord Ramachandra, people actually thought he must have had some connection with Lakshman in some previous life. One time, Lord Nityananda was playing the part of Lakshman, and one boy playing the part of Indrajit, the son of Ravana. Boo. You didn't get the clue. Once more. Boo. He threw a flower at Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, when he was hit with a flower, he fell unconscious. And his friends thought, well, that's quite good acting. And they tried to wake him up. But they couldn't wake him up. So they all became quite concerned that Nitai has fallen unconscious and we can't revive him. One passerby came by and asked, oh, did he say anything before the play? And he said, yes, if I fall unconscious, then one of the boys should play the role of Hanuman, and he should go to the mountain in the Himalayas, and there he should gather the herbs, Sanjivani, and then he should bring them back, and he should give me those herbs, and then everything should be all right. So one boy said, I am Hanuman, I am flying to the mountain, and he went to his, he play the part of going to the mountain. He found the Sajivani herbs, he gathered them up, brought them to Lord Nityananda, Nitai, and put them next to his nose, and Nitai woke up, and everyone was very happy. Ah. Applause. Devotees are very submissive. It's very easy to train them up. The big applause comes at the end of the lecture. Not for the lecture, because it's time for prasadam. So the whole pastime starts, generally the Ramayana, with one person named Valmiki. Valmiki was a murderer. And he was meditating one time, and Narada Muni came and told him to chant the name of Mara. He actually asked him to chant the name of Krishna or Rama, but he wouldn't do it because he was a murderer. So he told him, chant the name of Amara. Amara means death. So he said, yes, let's chant. Amara, Amara, Amara. But Amara is Ram spelled backwards. So after chanting for some time, he started to chant the name of Ram, and he became purified, so much purified, that eventually he was able to be in trance and actual experience, visualize the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So as we've heard many of the pastimes, and there are many of them. Generally, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's philosophy. To bring us up to the 10th canto, when we have spiritual senses, and when our senses are spiritual, then we can actually understand what is actually taking place in Krishna's pastimes. But we also, even with the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, we also need spiritual senses, because they're on a very emotional level. Otherwise, one will misunderstand them. They seem very, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, they seem very depressing. Here is a prince in a wonderful kingdom with a wonderful queen that he won after killing some demons and breaking a bow. Such a big bow, the bow of Shiva, and he strung it and broke it, and he won the hand of this wonderful princess, Sita Devi. He brings her back to the kingdom. His father is overwhelmed with joy. He's such a qualified person. The whole kingdom loves him. They all worship him. And then, on the day of his coronation, when he's about to become king, according to Mandara, boo. Then she convinces Kaikeyi to sends Lord Ramachandra into the forest for 14 years and is banished for 14 years. Such a depressing story. Usually at the end of the story, the prince gets crowned and they live happily ever after. But this is just the start of troubles. He goes into the forest and the only people he meets are demons. Talk about bad karma. It was a really bad time. I mean, he's God. Even he has his bad days or years. He meets demons who are, one of them, he has one arm. And he has the only thing in his face is a big mouth. And he spends his time with his one arm with a spear, and Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Sita, they see in the forest this big spear, and on the spear is a tiger, some elephants, a few giraffes, and a few other things. It was a barbecue. He He wasn't a vegetarian. The part is, it's hard to get good prasad. In any case, then they find this arm, and the arm grabs Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman in order to thrust them into his mouth. But of course, Lord Ramachandra kills the demon, puts him into the fire, and he comes out as a wonderful demigod who is cursed, and Lord Ramachandra had ended the curse. Similarly, Aloha, she was also cursed. And her husband, Gautama Muni, had cursed her. Actually, she had, Lord Indra disguised himself as Gautama Rishi, came to the ashram, and although she knew better, she was attracted by Indra, and she got cursed by her husband. We don't want to get into the details. In any case, she turned into stone. Nowadays, you stone people, but back then you made them into stone. And she was a stone for a long time. And then, by the mercy of Lord Ramachandra, he was able to free her from the curse, and she became a wonderful personality. What was her name? Was actually Aloha. What's that? Ahaya, yeah, I pronounced it wrong, I thought. Similarly, there are many other pastimes like that. So many meeting of, when they're in Pampa, the forest of Pampa, the last year is always the worst year, by the way. Just you're looking forward to getting back home, a few obstacles appear. They're in the forest of Pampa, and of course, there was some difficulty because they happened to go into part of the forest where Surpanaka was living. Surpanaka was the sister of Ravana. She was not exactly a beauty queen. But then again, most of the ladies in Lanka weren't beauty queens either. And she had this horrible nose and this horrible ears. I mean, big ears. And she wasn't a vegetarian either. Not the type of person you want to meet on the street. Especially in a dark alley. Especially when it's lunchtime. She only ate Brahmins though, so she had some purity to her. So if you're not second initiation, you don't have to worry about it. In any case, she happened to see Lord Ramachandra, who was beauty personified, Cupid personified, as well as Lakshman and Sita. And she became attracted to Lord Ramachandra. And as most Rakshashis, she had the power to convert herself into a beautiful woman. It's the good and the bad. Just like Putana, she was a horrible-looking witch, but she had the ability to convert herself into such a beautiful young girl, woman, that even Mother Jasoda and Rohini were impressed. So, there's some upside to being a Rakshashi. In any case, she disguised herself as a beautiful girl, celestial girl, and she appeared before Lord Ramachandra, and Lakshman and Sita, and she became attracted to Lord Ramachandra. She said, "Oh, my dear Lord Ramachandra, I'm in love with you. You're Cupid's personified. I'm a beautiful young girl. And, why don't you marry me? Let's cut to the chase." So Lord Ramachandra said, "Yes, you're a beautiful young girl, but I happen to have taken a vow of only having only one wife, and this is my wife, Sita Devi." So she said, "Why are you attracted to such an ugly lady?" "Those little ears and that straight nose, it's terrible, it's horrible. I'm disgusted." So Lord Ramachandra said, "Well, that's the way it is, but I have my brother here, he's Lakshman. He's unmarried. He didn't take, well, he's married, but his wife isn't here." So, And he never took the vow of Ekapati Rata. So why don't you accept him? You're a beautiful young girl. He'll become attracted. So she went over to Lakshman and said, accept me. I'm a beautiful young girl and you're a beautiful young boy. So it's just logical. So he said, well, I'm sorry. I am simply a slave of Lord Ramachandra. I can't accept anyone because I'm only a slave. Therefore, he's only playing with you. You should immediately go back and demand that he accept you as a wife. So he was playing with this lady. She went back and said, all right, you won't accept me because you've accepted Ekapati Rata, so I'll eat your wife. That would be an easy solution. Rakshasis are very intelligent, by the way. So she went to eat Sita, but somehow or another, it wasn't very, you know, they weren't encouraged by that. So Lakshman cut off her nose, cut off her ears, and she ran screaming into the forest in her form of a Rakshasi, without a nose and ears. She looked a lot better without them. It was actually an improvement, but she couldn't appreciate it. In any case, there were 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers in the forest who were guarding the forest. And so she ran to her brother, Tushara, and others there, Trishira, and others. And they became very disturbed that their sister had been maimed, disfigured, and therefore they attacked Lord Ramachandra and, well, just Lord Ramachandra. Sita went with Lakshman, they were hiding. Lord Ramachandra stood in front of them and killed all the 14,000 of the Rakshasa soldiers. And they weren't small. It wasn't just, you know, like going into the forest and killing a bunch of rabbits. We can imagine how big they were. Lord Krishna was small. He was a Kshatriya, but he was small for a Kshatriya. He was only 3 meters, well, he was 2.5 meters high. Kshatriyas in Dwapara Yuga were 3 meters high. And in Treta Yuga, they're even much larger. And these Rakshasas were even larger than the Kshatriyas. You know, the average Rakshasa was just 10 meters high. So to kill 14,000 of them in a few hours was quite a feat. So Surapanaka became very disturbed. She went back to Lanka and told Ravana that there's this beautiful girl there. Well, of course, she was screaming because her nose was cut off and the ears were cut off. So she wasn't in a very good mood. And then she immediately began to criticize Ravana that, you know, you don't know right now there is this person in your kingdom. He's been killing your friends and your relatives. But he has this beautiful young wife, and I think she'd make the perfect match with you. So Ravana heard about the glories of Sita, became determined to avenge the death of his relatives and friends, as well as the disfigurement of Surapanaka, and he went to Marichi and told Marichi to disguise himself as a deer. So Marichi had previously, he was one of the demons, the Rakshasas, who had gone to the sacrificial ceremonies that the Brahmins and Vishwamitra were performing, and he would regularly throw all kinds of impure things on the sacrificial fire. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra was given to Vishwamitra Muni. And at that time, he had killed many of those Rakshasas. But one of them, Marichi, was hit by one of his arrows and thrown something like 1,000 yojanas, which is approximately 8,000 miles away. And therefore, he was not very much encouraged to go and try and trick Lord Ramachandra. He had already had experience. It wasn't a good idea. In any case, Ravana told Marichi, if you don't go, if you don't want to be killed by Lord Ramachandra, then I'll kill you. So he said, well, all right, I'd rather be killed by Lord Ramachandra. At least I'll get liberation. So he disguised himself as a beautiful deer, went to the forest, and there he attracted the mind of Sita Devi. And the deer started to prance around and started to wander deeper into the forest. And Sita Devi told Lord Ramachandra, please give me that deer. But Lakshman said, no, don't go after the deer. I think it's a demon. But Lord Ramachandra, he went after the deer. And then the rest is history. We don't have time to tell the history. You'll have to read the Ramayana if you want to find out what the history is. In any case, one thing you can learn from the whole pastime is don't run after deer. Especially those who are disguised as demons. Anyhow, time for the applause. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Prasadam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.